ఓం సదాశివ సమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. ఓం టుడే ఐ విల్ గివ్ యూ ఏ సమ్మరీ ఆఫ్ the sixth chapter of the Gita. The sixth chapter deals with one of the most important topics of the entire spiritual discipline, namely meditation. And in my introduction, I talked about the role of meditation in spiritual sadhana. I pointed out that meditation is twofold. One is the meditation to be practiced before one exposes oneself to the Vedantic teaching, which is called Vedanta Shravanam. And this meditation, which is to be practiced before Vedanta Shravanam, is called preparatory meditation, and we call it Upasanam. And Upasanam prepares the mind for doing the Vedanta Shravanam. And therefore, a person has to practice upasana first and then prepare the mind through that and come to Vedanta Shravana. I talked about varieties of upasanas, which is generally defined as Saguna Ishvara Dhyanam, dwelling upon the Lord with attributes. Saguna Ishvara Dhyanam Upasanam. And after this Upasanam, when a person does the Vedanta Shravanam, it will lead to self-knowledge. And you should remember, self-knowledge has to take place only through Guru Upadesha. And this will definitely take place if a person has prepared the mind through Upasana. Vedanta Shravanam is bound to give self-knowledge. And suppose a person has not done Upasanam before. Naturally, the mind is not fully qualified. And when such a person who is underqualified or unqualified, when such a person listens to the Vedantic teaching, certainly the knowledge will take place, but the knowledge will not be that powerful, and the knowledge cannot be assimilated into the system. Like oil in water, the knowledge will stand separate from the personality. There will be a gap between what that person knows and what that person is, that actual ideal rift or difference will be there. It is not because of the defect of the teaching, but because the mind has not been prepared through upasana. And if it is an underprepared mind and does the Vedanta Shravanam, jnanam will take place, but jnana nishtha, assimilation, doesn't take place. And therefore, what we have to do? The Vedanta Shravanam should be followed by another type of meditation which is called Vedantic meditation or Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam will be compulsory for one who has not done Upasana. If sufficient Upasana has been done, Vedanta Shravanam itself is sufficient, Nididhyasanam is not compulsory. But for those who have avoided Upasanam, will have to follow Shravanam by Nididhyasanam. And Nididhyasanam is defined as Nirguna Ishwaradhyanam, while Upasanam is defined as Saguna Ishwaradhyanam. Nididhyasanam is defined as Nirguna Ishwaradhyanam, and Nirguna Ishwaradhyanam is nothing but Atma Dhyanam, because Nirguna Ishwara happens to be the very Chaitanyam Atma Swarupam. And this we can call Vedantic meditation. And in this Vedantic meditation, a person dwells upon the teaching received during Shravanam. And this dwelling is done for a length of time so that the knowledge enters my mind, enters my subconscious personality. In short, it irrigates my whole personality so that I and the knowledge have become one. And thus, Vedantic meditation does not produce knowledge, but Vedantic meditation helps in the assimilation of knowledge. It is not the cause of jnanam, but it is the cause of jnana nishtha. So now, if you put these three disciplines in perspective, I can give you three statements. Upasana gives jnana yogyata, shravanam gives jnanam, nididhyasanam gives jnana nishtha. Idudan saram. Upasana gives jnana yogyata, shravanam, vedanta shravanam, shravanam jana edadugata, vedanta shravanam gives jnanam. In fact, vedanta shravanam alone can give jnanam, and nididhyasanam gives jnana nishtha. And the word dhyanam is a common word used for upasanam also, and also for nididhyasanam. Preparatory meditation is also called dhyanam. Assimilatory meditation is also called dhyanam. But if you want to make a distinction, the first one is upasana dhyanam, the last one is nididhyasana dhyanam. And naturally the question will be, what is the topic of the sixth chapter? If you call it dhyana yogaha, is it upasana dhyanam or nididhyasana dhyanam? And I told you in the introduction that it is nididhyasana dhyanam. Vedantic meditation is the subject matter of sixth chapter. And why does Krishna introduce Vedantic meditation here? Because Krishna feels Vedanta Shravanam has been already done by Arjuna in the second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter and fifth chapter. Naal chapter le chapatache. Apra in the chapter le enna pannanam? Chapatate dahanam pannanam. What has been eaten in four chapters has to be digested. Therefore, Vedantic meditation is the subject matter of the 6th chapter, and this topic has been very exhaustively dealt with in this chapter, and we don't find this much analysis in any other part of the scriptures, and therefore this chapter is very important. Now the entire chapter can be divided into 6 portions. And those 6 portions are, number 1, Bahiranga Sadhanani, in English, general disciplines to be observed by a person throughout the day for successful meditation. In simple language, general disciplines, Bahiranga Sadhanani. The second topic is Antaranga Sadhanani. In English, it means specific disciplines to be observed just before the practice of meditation. Specific disciplines, Antaranga Sadhanani. Then the third topic is Dhyana Swarupam, the actual process of meditation. What exactly is meditation? In Sanskrit, Dhyana Swarupam. And then the fourth topic is Dhyana Phalam, the benefit of meditation. When I say meditation, Vedantic meditation, Nididhyasana Nyabam Vachungo, Naan Dhyanam Solra Edathile Ella, Neenga Nididhyasanam Pottukalam. Nididhyasana Bahiranga Sadhanani, Nididhyasana Antaranga Sadhanani, Nididhyasana Swarupam, Nididhyasana Phalam. Phalam means the benefits, fourth topic. Then the fifth topic is Dhyana Pratibandha Pariharau, the obstacles to meditation and their remedies. Pratibandha means obstacles and parihara means remedy. This is the fifth topic, and in fact the 5 topics alone are dealing with meditation. The 6th topic is an incidental and aside topic, and that is Yoga Brashtaha, a question which came because of Arjuna's pessimism in spite of Krishna's encouragement. Krishna encourage panniye Arjunanukku pessimism varanamna nammala kekkanuma. So in spite of Krishna's encouragement, Arjuna becomes pessimistic, and Krishna just consoles Arjuna, which topic is called Yoga Brashtaha topic. These are the 6 topics. Now I will give you a brief note on each topic. The first one is Bahiranga Sadhanani, which is dealt with in verses 1-9 and 16 and 17. Verses 1-9 and 16 and 17, we find Bahiranga Sadhanani, general discipline. In general discipline, Krishna includes Karma Yoga as a very important discipline for successful meditation. A Karma Yogi alone can practice meditation successfully. A Karmi cannot practice meditation. He can sit in meditation, but everything else other than meditation will be happening. And what is the reason? Krishna says, Karma Yogi is one who is able to accept all the actions that he has to do in life without grumbling. One of the souls of mental disturbance is doing things without loving that job. When I keep on doing things without having a love for that, there is a split in my personality. Mind doesn't want to do, body has to do. Therefore, kadanathulakkaradungara language ellam varum, which means there is a stress and strain. Whereas karma yogi accepts all the actions with what? Isvararpana buddhi. Not only karma yogi loves whatever he has to do because of the position in the family, in the society, in the organization, he also accepts all the consequences of his action. Not only karma he accepts karma phalam also. Karma he accepts with Ishwararpana bhavana, karma phalam he accepts with prasada bhavana. And because of this Ishwararpana prasada bhavana, karma yogi enjoys a stress-free mind. In fact, karma yoga is the best method of stress management. And such a mind which is stress-free, Krishna calls samatvam yoga uchyate. Karma yogi enjoys a mind which is free from violent reactions, not at the time of meditation, but throughout. If there is one violent reaction during the day, that trauma in the mind will create such a strong imprint that even during night, you sit in meditation, that daytime argument with the auto rickshaw fellow or argument with your boss or wife or children, any violent reaction creates an imprint and it will come when you are sitting in meditation. Karma yogi avoids violent reaction. I don't say karma yogi avoids reaction. If karma yogi totally avoids reaction, avan jnana yogathuke varavandame. Karma yogi avoids violent reaction. They don't seriously disturb his mind. Therefore, when he sits in meditation, he can forget those incidences and concentrate on the topic of meditation. Therefore, karma yoga is a must for a dhyana yogi, a meditator. Therefore, Krishna emphasizes karma yoga in the beginning of the 6th chapter. Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha sasanyasi cha yogi cha naniragnirna chakriyaha. In fact, Krishna tells such a karma yogi is as good as a sannyasi. So, karma yoga is bahiranga sadhana number one. Then the second bahiranga sadhana Krishna emphasizes is self-confident. Never look down upon yourself. We all are God's creation and we all belong to the Lord. And that qualification is enough for us to feel great. Even if I don't have any qualification, I am great because I belong to the Lord. Periya kudumbatha chendavan sollala illa. Some people, enga thatha vandu ganapadigal nu. Nee enna padichirukana? Gayatri sandeham na. No, but still he just claims, my tata is Ganapati. Therefore, I feel proud that somebody in the generation has done something. So, similarly, we all belong to what? Mata cha Parvati Devi Pita Devo Maheshwaraha Bandhava Shiva Bhaktascha Swadesho Bhuvanatrayam. We belong to very big family whose head is Bhagavan. Why can't we feel proud? Therefore, never look down upon yourself. You can accomplish things in life. And if you feel diffident, inject confidence by surrendering to God, seeking the grace of the Lord. Ishwara Kripa is there to push you. Guru Kripa is there to push you. Shastra Kripa is there. Three engines are working to push you. Don't lie down like kundi madu. No, there is a kundi madu chulva. Elundirukave mata. So therefore, be confident. Uddhared atmanatmanam. So discipline number two, bahiranga sadhana. This is not only for spiritual goal, even for material goals you require confidence. Don't be fatalistic. Fatalism is unvedantic. We think karma theory is fatalism. It is the biggest misconception. Nowhere in the Veda fatalism is talked about. It always says, take charge of your life. Then the third value that Krishna emphasizes in Bahiranga Sadhana is self-control. When you are using any instrument, you should have control over the instrument, whether you are driving a car or whether you are using a musical instrument. You can be successful only when the instrument is under your control. And Krishna says, Bhagavan has given the best instrument for you, in the form of the body, wonderful human body. How many things the hand can do? In fact, you can sit and write. Kaiyala ennallam pannalam. Modalla adikkiradhilendu anubhavam. Anyway, minimum we will start from slapping people. And thereafterwards, so many things. Infinite things. So, wonderful body Bhagavan has given. Wonderful jnanendriyas, wonderful karmendriyas, wonderful antahkaranam. There's so many instruments are there. They will help you if you keep them under your control. Don't be a slave of these instruments. Then if you are a slave, they will control you. But if you are a master, you can accomplish anything. Remember the Kathopanishad Ratha Kalpana, which we saw in the Upanishad class. Therefore, what is the next discipline? Self-control. Karma Yoga, self-confidence, self-control. Self means body, mind, sense complex. Then the fourth discipline that Krishna emphasizes, which is very important, is moderation in everything. Never indulge in anything too much. No doubt, Bhagavan has given a wonderful world for your enjoyment only. Sense pleasures are allowed. Shastra itself talks about that. But nothing should be overdone. They say, adhika mayal amrutavum visham. Malayalathile, Tamilla corresponding translation you can do. Anything in excess is dangerous. Therefore, whether it is working, or whether it is resting, or whether it is sleeping, or whether it is eating, or whether it is talking, or whether it is not talking, be moderate in everything. If you do not know whether you have control or not, once in a while say no to that. Only when you try saying no, you will know whether you are a slave or not. Whatever you do regularly, one day vendan solli paarunga. If there is a protest, it means gradually you are enslaved. Anything. And therefore, the golden middle path or moderation, yukta ahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta sopnavabodhasya, yogo bhavati dukkaha, natyashnatastu, etc. So thus, four disciplines are emphasized in Bahiranga Sadhana: Karma Yoga, Self-Confidence, Self-Control and Moderation. This is topic one. Then the next topic is Antaranga Sadhana, specific disciplines to be observed just before meditation, which topic is discussed from verse number 10 to 15. 10 to 15, Antaranga Sadhanani. And here we saw 8 items to be taken care of, 8-fold factors to be taken care of. What are they? Number 1, place of meditation. The place should be clean, the place should be secluded, place should be invoking spiritual thoughts in you. It should be associated with spirituality. As I said in the class, if you are sitting in the dining room, even if it is very clean, the thought will be associated with what? Only chapati. So therefore, let the place be associated with spirituality. So this is place factor. Number 2, time factor. Choose a time when your mind is sattvic. And what do you mean by sattvic? It means your mind is neither rajasic nor tamasic. Rajasic means what? Overactive. Running all over the world. That is rajasic. Tamasic means what? Becoming inactive. Na nartham? Dose pandradhu nartham. Therefore, your mind should not be dozing also. Your mind should not be wandering also. It should be alert and available for the job that you want to give. This alert mind, non-extrovert alert mind, is called sattvic mind. And whenever you enjoy that mind, choose that time. Swamiji, my mind is never like that, Chuladengo. If you find that your mind is never like that, try to create such a mind by choosing that time, like early morning or evening. Then you practice, you will be able to get it. So therefore, right time, number 2 factor. The 3rd factor is proper seat for sitting on. Because according to Shastra, we should not sit on the floor. Bare ground, we are not supposed to sit. We should have an appropriate asanam, which is exclusively ours, not for sharing. Like toothbrush, you know. One paste may be used by so many people. But I don't think the brush will be shared. It is our brush. Exactly like that, have your own asanam and use it only for this meditational purpose. And Krishna said it should be neither too high nor too low, neither too soft nor too hard, comfortable asanam. This is the 3rd factor, place, time, seat. Then the 4th factor is condition of the body, body condition. Krishna said, you should sit down if possible. If I add one end, you should sit down if possible. If it is not possible, sit wherever you can comfortably. And if you are sitting down, fold your legs with the maximum base area. And then keep your body, neck and head in straight line, but not stiff. It is straight, but not stiff. Relax. This is the fourth factor, condition of the body. So, place, time, seat, body condition. Number five, condition of the sense organ. They are very powerful, capable of dragging you. Neighbor's conversation, if you can hear, adhula thaan pohum. TV la song ennaal irundha, adhula poidum. Need not be in your house, neighbor's house. So therefore, withdraw all the sense organs and let the eyes be partially closed. Krishna said, it should be as though looking at the tip of the nose or as though looking between the eyebrows. Bruvor madhye. Chakshushchaivantare bruvoho. Anjavad adhyayathinod kadashil and the clue kudutar. And in the sixth chapter, Sampreksha Nasikagram Swam. Therefore, either this end of the nose or that end of the nose. But the idea is you don't concentrate on the nose, then it will become nose meditation. So the eyes are as though looking. Mind is not behind the eyes. Eyes are in that direction, but mind is not behind the eyes. So this is the fifth condition, condition of the sense organs. Number six, condition of the breathing. Pranapanau samau krutva nasabhyantara charinau. Breathing should be smooth and slow. Even samau krutva, it should not be disturbed breathing, because according to Shastra, breathing and mind are interconnected. If there is a disturbed breathing, it will disturb the mind also. In fact, by controlling the breathing, one can control the mind also. Jala pakshivad rodha sadhanam. Vayu rodhanad liyate manaha. Ramana Maharshi gives in his Upadesha Saram, Vayu rodhanad, vayuna pranan. Rodhana means disciplining. Vayu rodhana through pranayama, liyate manaha, the mind can be quietened. Like what? Jala pakshivad rodha sadhanam. Just as a caged bird cannot fly, similarly pranayama, cage, will not allow the mind to fly all over. And that is why in all our rituals, Ombuhu nuduva. The Ombuhu shunnale mukapidi nartham. Mukapidi nartham. Pranayama you practice. Why? Why pranayama is part of the ritual? Because when you are doing any ritual, mind should be within that field. So thus, what is the sixth factor? Condition of the breathing. Then the seventh factor is the condition of the mind. What should be the condition of the mind? Become mentally a sannyasi. Don't get frightened mentally. Okay. Become mentally a sannyasi means drop all your relationship at least for 15-20 minutes. And dropping the relationship means drop all your roles. Don't be a father or mother. husband or wife, brother or sister, any role has got headache. Any role has headache. Therefore, drop all your roles. You should have only one role. Either be a bhakta. Bhagavan problem kudukamata. Avar uruttharada. Problem kudukamata. Either be a bhakta during meditation or be a shishya. I hope guru doesn't give problem. Or be a shishya during meditation. So this is mental withdrawal from all the sangha. This is the seventh condition. And the eighth and final condition is the condition of the intellect, buddhi. And what is the condition? Intellectually, I should be convinced of the value of meditation. If I don't have conviction, I will look upon those 15 minutes as a waste of time. Because time has become the most rare thing in life. Time e kadaiyadu. Can see that even at the end of the class, even before Purnamadaha, people get up. Because so much to be done. In fact, if I am able to take 1 hour a week, it seems to be a great achievement for me. Vāratthala oru manikur ongala pidichu vekkradunnale, I think that is a great credit. So, time has become so valuable now. In fact, people write, time is money. Adu vare. And it seems in America and all, payment is by hour. So, 1 hour Gita class na etra dollar pohunu paakendu varu. Madre, I should be convinced that the time spent in this is worthy. I may not get benefit in terms of rupees and paisa, but I am getting a benefit in terms of my personality transformation, for which I should know that my peace of mind does not depend upon what I have. My peace of mind depends upon what I am. Therefore, intellectual conviction is also a condition. Therefore, know what are the 8 conditions? Place, time, seat, condition of body, sense organs, breathing, mind and intellect. These are the 8 factors to be taken. These are all not meditation. These are the factors to be taken care of before meditation. This is the topic from 10 to 15. Then from verses 18 to 32, 18th to 32nd, Krishna talks about dhyana swarupam and dhyana phalam. Dhyana swarupam means the process of meditation. And what is the process of meditation? Mind dwelling upon a chosen object is meditation. Which means the mind is there in meditation. Mind is functioning in meditation. And mind entertains thoughts in meditation. Therefore, never think meditation is silencing the mind. Vedantic meditation is not silencing the mind. It is not stopping the mind. It is not curbing the mind. It is not restraining the mind. But it is directing the mind. Which means thoughts are there, but the thoughts are dealing with the subject matter that I choose. And here what is the subject matter? Whatever I have learnt from the scriptures. And what have I learnt? So the body is not the real I. It is an incidental, what you call, appendage which will be there for a few years and will disappear. Similarly, sense organs, similarly the mind, they are all instruments that I handle. My higher nature is the very Chaitanyam, the consciousness principle, which is aware of all of them. And if you remember the second chapter, from verse number 12 to 25, I have talked about the nature of Atma. Atma Nityaha, Satyaha, Ekaha, Sarvagataha, Asangaha, Akarta, Abhokta. Idellam you are supposed to remember. Enadhu kekkaringo, second chapter la I have elaborately dealt with, and whatever you have received, they are not for forgetting, but they are meant for a reliving. The class Vedanta Shravanam is the recording process. Vedantic meditation is replaying what you have recorded. So, during Shravanam, VCR is functioning. VCR nana, video cassette recorder. And during Nididhyasanam, what is functioning? VCP. Adha play pandrathe blank a varudhu vechunga. Sometimes happens. You have very carefully recorded. Cassette len jalapa varum. Samaji unnume varale. Nirgunam Brahma has been recorded na. Ashabdam asparsham arupam avyayam na. So in meditation, if blank comes, it means VCR has not functioned properly. Class urupadi attend panni, nanna record panningo nartham. Record properly, listen to properly, retain and relive. And in this, Krishna talked about three stages. Dharana is focusing the mind on the chosen subjects. Dhyanam is retaining the focused condition. And then Samadhi is what? Absorption in that particular subject matter. Focusing, retaining and getting absorbed. In focusing and retaining, will is involved. But once you are absorbed, then will is not required. As I said, when you read a book, initially you have to draw your mind. And once you are engrossed, in English we have that beautiful word, once you are engrossed, you forget the surrounding. Mei marandu ponalan solalaliya. So you just get absorbed. It is not any new peculiar mystic thing. We have that absorption capacity in TV program, in novel reading, in listening to neighbor's secret. Adalella absolute samadhi we have got. Anda samadhiya vandhi inge kondu varanadana. We require only shifting. We don't have to gain any new capacity. Irukkara capacity enga use pannamo anga pannanavada. Thus, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, getting absorbed in the teaching, Brahma satyam, jagan mithya, aham, brahmaiva, naparaha. And Krishna gave the example also. What is the example? Like the flame which is kept in a breezeless place, a protected flame does not flicker. Similarly, the mind is dwelling in the teaching. And Krishna gave seven definitions for samadhi also, from verse number 20 to 23. He gave seven definitions. Samadhi is that stage in which chitta uparamanam, mind subsides, mind is absorbed in itself. The second definition is atma darshanam, So one's mind is absorbed in the Atma Darshanam, owning up of one's own higher nature. Third definition is Atyantika Sukham. One enjoys maximum ananda because I am seeing my own higher nature. It is looking into the mirror. How happy we are. Whenever we get chance, Kannadi Pakaram Aliyo. Therefore, I am looking into my own nature, Atyantika Sukham. And then, Tattva Nishtha, being established in one's own real nature, Tattva, is the fourth definition, Atyantika Labha. It is a stage in which one has attained the highest in life. And then, Atyantika Dukkha Nivrittihi, it is a state in which one has withdrawn from, one is free from all the sorrows. And then finally, Krishna defined Dukkha Samyoga Viyogaha, one a state in which a person is no more identified with the pains of Anatma. So the details, we can refer back, beautiful seven definitions of Samadhi Krishna gave. They all come under what? The actual process of meditation. And then Krishna discusses Dhyana Phalam. In the same portion, that is from 18 to 32, both topics are there. Dhyana phalam means the benefit of meditation. The benefit is transformation of the personality. The way I look at the world, the way I look at the events in life, the way I look at myself, everything is completely transformed. The world does not undergo any change, but my way of looking at the world changes. And the greatest benefit of this perspective change is sarvatra samadarshanaha, freedom from raga and dvesha. So neither am I attached to anything in the creation. Attachment is no more my weakness, nor do I hate anything intensely. Ragadvesha atitatvam or samadarshanam sarvatra samadarshanaha. I might have preferences in life. As I said, preferences are different from ragadvesha. I would prefer to have a cup of coffee is one thing. I need a cup of coffee is quite different. If you say I prefer, it means if it is available, welcome and good. Illai sonna, okay. Either way it is okay. But when I say I need, it means if that is not available, I become non-functional. So a jnana nishtha might have preferences in life, but he is not a slave of any object, any situation or any person. The toughest thing is getting out of attachment towards people. That is the final detachment. So this ragadvesha atitatvam or sarvatra samadarshanam is presented as the main benefit. A few more benefits Krishna mentions, but the main one is samadarshanam. And samatvam alone is called shanti, equanimity, poise. This is Dhyana Phalam. which can be otherwise called Jivan Muktihi. Thereafter, from verse number 33 to 36, Krishna talks about the obstacle to meditation. Even though many obstacles are discussed in the Shastra, here in the 6th chapter, Krishna deals with one obstacle, and that is Vikshepaha, wandering nature of mind, restlessness of the mind, Vikshepa Pratibandhaha. And Krishna gives a twofold remedy, which is Vairagyam and Abhyasa. Abhyasa means practice. So, practice of the meditation, sheer practice, as they say, practice makes a man perfect. Sheer Abhyasa will improve the meditation. And the second one is Vairagyam. Vairagyam means reducing the Ragadvesha slavery. In fact, Ragadveshas are one of the very powerful enemies of a spiritual seeker. And therefore, repeatedly Krishna will say, learn to handle your likes and dislikes, attachment and aversion, viruppu varuppu, learn to handle. They are your number one internal enemies. In fact, according to Shastra, externally there are no enemies. If anybody is able to disturb you, you have allowed that person to disturb you by having either raga or dvesha. If you have an attachment to a person, he will disturb you by going away. Ili attachment irukkuchana. Suppose I have got attachment to this clock. The clock can disturb me when it goes away. If I have hatred to this clock will disturb me how? By coming towards me. So this clock or watch gets the capacity to disturb me only because I have provided it the capacity by having either raga or dvesha. If I don't have either, this is a neutral clock. And therefore, handling raga dvesha is one method, and practice is another method to deal with vikshepaha. This is dhyana pratibandha parihara, obstacle and remedy from 33 to 36. Then from 37 to 45 is the last topic. With the previous topic, the meditation part is over. In fact, 6th chapter is over with 36th verse. This is only an appendix or a side topic based on Arjuna's question. What was Arjuna's question? Suppose we fail in our spiritual journey and die before attaining moksha or jnanam. What will happen to me in my next birth? Arjuna's worry is, since I have not done enough karma, I won't get swarga also. And since I have not succeeded in gaining knowledge, no moksha also, will I not have a downfall spiritually? This was Arjuna's question, for which Krishna gave an elaborate answer. He said, one thing, let it be clear. Whoever comes to spiritual line, he has got only two phalam, possibilities. If he gains knowledge, wonderful, he will get moksha. If he doesn't get knowledge, because of the sheer punyam of listening to the scriptures, he is going to enjoy swarga phala. Therefore, minimum swarga, maximum moksha. Wonderful. இல்ல உங்களுக்கு தான் சொல்றேன். ஓகே, மினிமம் ஸ்வர்கா அண்ட் மேக்சிமம் மோக்ஷா. அண்ட் நாட் ஓன்லி தட் பர்சன் வில் என்ஜாய் ஸ்வர்கா இஃப் இஸ் எ ஃபெயிலியர், இஃப் இஸ் எ யோக பிரஷ்டா. ஆஃப்டர் ஸ்வர்கா என்ஜாய்மெண்ட், ஹீ வில் கெட் எ வெரி கண்டியூசிவ் பர்த் டு கண்டினியூ தி ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் ஜேர்னி, நாட் ஃப்ரம் தி பிகினிங் பட் ஃப்ரம் வேர் ஹீ லெஃப்ட் இன் திஸ் ஜென்மா. And since he has got advantage of Purva Janma Vasana, his spiritual journey will start earlier, and not only it will start earlier, it will be faster, and he will effortlessly attain Jnanam and Moksha, and therefore never be pessimistic, enjoy your spiritual journey. With this, Krishna concludes the Yoga Bhrashta topic. And then in the last two shlokas, 46 and 47, Krishna concludes the sixth chapter, coming back to meditation once again, because that is the main topic of the sixth chapter. And Krishna says, one who is practicing Vedantic meditation is the highest yogi, because he is nearest to moksha. Karma yogi, upasana yogi, shravana yogi, manana yogi, nididhyasana yogi, among these five yogis, the other four are farther from moksha, whereas nididhyasana yogi is in the fifth and final step. His just next step is in liberation only. And therefore, Arjuna, don't stop with Shravanam, practice Vedantic meditation. Even if you don't practice the asana, posture, etc., also doesn't matter. In some form or the other, may you dwell on the teaching. So, with the glorification of Vedantic meditation, Krishna concludes this discourse, and this chapter is called Dhyana Yogaha or Atma Samyama Yogaha, because the central theme is directing the mind towards Vedantic teaching. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.